We've come today to a two-part lesson that is of great importance, and we ask the simple but important question, are homosexuality and homosexual marriage pleasing to God? That is what we would like to ask in this lesson. And that is what we hope that we can find, and we are assured that we can find the answer from the Word of God. What is pleasing to humanity is often displeasing to God, and this is one of those instances. Those who practice homosexuality tell us, along with others, they were born gay, that God, or they have been made homosexual by the way they have been born. It was something that they could not, don't have any control over. And yet, we find the Word of God condemns homosexuality as a sinful action. So somebody is right and somebody is wrong in their assessment of homosexuality. Educators brainwash our children into believing that homosexuality is a normal, moral lifestyle that should not be condemned. And that's what has gone through our society here in the United States, at least for the last, 60 years, whatever it may be. Judges and politicians pass laws and make rulings endorsing homosexuality and legalizing same-sex marriage. A misguided Supreme Court ruling in our country has made same-sex marriage the law of our land, to our shame and to disgrace. It has been made the law of the land and is something that, if not reversed, our nation surely will be judged by a righteous God for our actions, those actions of those men and women that have made it so. Even religious leaders are endorsing same-sex marriage, such as Rob Bell, founder of the Mars Hill Church in Michigan. This is what Mr. Bell said, quote, "I am for fidelity. I am for love, whether it's a woman and a woman, a man and a man," end quote. That's what Mr. Bell stated, and many religious groups now openly endorse homosexuality and same-sex marriage. But the scriptures reveal that homosexuality is displeasing to God. It is a sinful choice, a violation of God's law. And it is something that, if not turned from, will cause us to be eternally lost. The scriptures also reveal that God created marriage as an exclusive union involving only one man and one woman. It is not a man and a man. It is not a woman and a woman. In these dark times, then, let us consider what the scriptures say and not shrink back from speaking out what the Bible speaks on this and all things. We may suffer persecution from humanity for the stand that we take for the Word of God, but we look for a greater eternal reward. One day being able to be in that heavenly city that God is prepared and that Jesus has died so that we might be forgiven and have hope of being there eternally. What we first notice is that following our own guidance is going to result in idolatry and immorality, including homosexuality. That is what happens to society that turn to their own guidance and abandon the truth that God has revealed. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21 through 25, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed animals and crawling creatures." That is, they turned to idolatry. "Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity so that their bodies would be dishonored among them." That would be sexual sin, including homosexuality, as we'll read in just a bit more precisely. "For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." So that is the shape of our society today, no different from the Roman society that has long ago been confined to the ash heap of history. Every society that eventually decays or morally decays and then becomes weak and ineffective and is eventually destroyed, idolatry and homosexuality are at the root of their destruction. And that is unfortunately what we see in our society today. Yes, our own guidance, the best that we can do is become arrogant against God and bow down to his creation and do not honor him or give thanks the way that we should by worshiping him and submitting to his guidance that we find today in the apostles' teaching, the New Testament. It is the scripture that God has given by his Holy Spirit to guide us. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, "All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching and reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." It is from that scripture that we gain faith, or that we trust in the word of God, believing what God has said, Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and turning away from that word of God is going to cause us to be condemned by God for following our own guidance that leads us to be enemies of God. Galatians 1 and verse 8, "But even if we or an angel from heaven," Paul said, "should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed." And that includes people today who say that God endorses homosexuality. What God has actually said in his word is that he condemns homosexuality as sinful, as violating his law, whether it be before the law of Moses, under the law of Moses, or under the new covenant today, the apostles' teaching revealed in the New Testament, God in all ages has condemned homosexuality. That may sound shocking. It may sound like something that we don't like or that we become angry when we hear it. But any honest reading of the Word of God is going to show us that this is the case. That the God who has created men and women in His own image, along with all else that has been created, that God says that homosexuality is sinful. And one day He will judge that in that day of judgment. And even before the day of judgment, He has provided us with all the evidence showing that He condemns homosexuality. Before the law of Moses, God condemned homosexuality. The example that we have is the destruction of the cities of the plains, including Sodom and Gomorrah, those two cities, chief cities among those. Genesis 19 and verse 1, now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, As Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. And he said, now behold, my lords, please turn aside into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way. They said, however, no, but we shall spend the night in the square. Yet he urged them strongly, so they turned aside to him and entered his house, and he prepared a feast for them and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, surrounded the house, both young and old, all the people from every quarter. And they called to Lot and said to him, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may have relations with them. How terrible. What a sickening request that the men of Sodom were making. Bring them out so that we might abuse them and have sexual relations with them, something that God condemned. Verse 6, but Lot went out to them at the doorway and shut the door behind him and said, please, my brothers, do not act wickedly. Now behold, I have two daughters who have not had relations with men. Please let me bring them out to you and do to them whatever you like. Only do nothing to these men, inasmuch as they have come under the shelter of my roof. That is a terrible thing that Lot said. Trying to protect the angels, but willing to sacrifice his two virgin daughters to this mob. But then in verse 9, but they said, stand aside. Furthermore, they said, this one came in as an alien, and already he is acting like a judge. Now we will treat you worse than them. So they pressed hard against Lot and came near to break the door. But the men reached out with their hands and brought Lot into the house with them and shut the door. They struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great. so that they wearied themselves trying to find the doorway. And then in verse 24, then the Lord rained down on Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. And so God destroyed these cities with a judgment direct from heaven, fire and brimstone, so that nothing was left of those cities because of their wickedness, including homosexuality. And they are forever, as long as the earth stands, an example of God's disapproval and condemnation of such behavior. The angels had visited Lot's uncle, Abram, later called Abraham earlier, and Abraham pleaded for God to save the city. And God said, if there were only 10 men in that city who are righteous, I will save that city. But they did not find even 10 men who were righteous in that city. Genesis 18 and verse 20. And the Lord said, the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is indeed great, and their sin is exceedingly grave. Verse 32. Then he said, oh, may the Lord not be angry, and I shall speak only this once. Suppose 10 are found there. And he said, I will not destroy it on account of the 10. So the patient, loving, merciful God said, if there are only 10 men in that city who seek to do my will, I will not destroy them. But there were not even 10. Not even 10 could be found. And God destroyed those cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. And one of the sins they were committing was homosexuality. And there's not any Supreme Court. There's not any judges in the world. There's not any country in the world and its legislatures that can make what God condemns right. In Jude 1 and verse 7, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they in the same way as these indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of the eternal fire. God intended Sodom and Gomorrah to be an example to us today of what happens if we go further from him against his law and engage in those types of behavior, including homosexuality. In the law of Moses, God condemned homosexuality. Leviticus 18 and verse 21, you shall not give any of your offspring to offer them to Molech, nor shall you profane the name of your God, I am the Lord. You shall not lie with a male as one lies with a female. It is an abomination. That is homosexuality. Also, you shall not have intercourse with any animal to be defiled with it, nor shall any woman stand before an animal to mate with it. It is a perversion. Do not defile yourselves by any of these things, for by all these the nations which I am casting out before you have become defiled. So God speaks of homosexuality as a defilement, not an acceptable lifestyle. Leviticus 20 and verse 13, if there is a man who lies with a male, as those who lie with a woman, both of them have committed a detestable act, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood guiltiness is upon them. And then 1 Kings 14 and verse 24, there were also male cult prostitutes in the land. There they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord dispossessed before the sons of Israel. And so there were even sodomites in the surrounding area of the temple. And for those sins, the temple was destroyed and the people were driven out of the land of that God had given them. Yes, in the law of Moses, God condemns homosexuality, and in the New Testament, God also condemns homosexuality. Romans 1 and verse 26. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. God calling homosexuality unnatural. And in the same way also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. So God condemns homosexuality. It is a result of man's rebellion against the authority of God and misusing their bodies that God intended for a man and a woman to have sexual relations in marriage, but they misused their bodies and committed homosexuality. Something that is against nature, against the created, the way God has created man and woman. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, that's the homosexual, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor the drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. God condemning again homosexuality, whatever the flavor of it, whatever the behavior, all homosexuality is condemned. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 8, but we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, realizing the fact that law is not made for a righteous person, but for those who are lawless and rebellious, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers and immoral men and homosexuals and kidnappers and liars and perjurers and whatever else is contrary to sound teaching, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. And what God has said in the New Testament is the final word that he has spoken, the complete will of Jesus being revealed and confirmed in the New Testament by miracles. There's nothing else God is going to say about it except that it is sinful and needs to be turned from, so that we might receive forgiveness of sins and have hope of eternal life through obedience to the gospel that has been given to us. John 16 and verse 12, Jesus said to the apostles, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. And so that is what he has spoken in the New Testament. Homosexuality is sinful. It needs to be repented of if we are going to be saved. And even if we think we're not committing homosexuality, but we're not speaking out against it, that we're pleasing to God, Romans 1:32 says, and although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things, including homosexuality, are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. So even if we give hearty approval to homosexuality and we don't engage in it, we are condemned by God for encouraging sin against him. So we would encourage all to turn from homosexuality and to turn from all sin and to turn to God, the only one who can save us from our sins, who sent Jesus to die for our sins and raised him from the dead so that we might have forgiveness and hope of eternal life. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11, such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. The first preaching of the gospel, when they heard about Jesus dying for their sins and being raised from the dead and ruling at the right hand of God, they cried out and said, what shall we do? And Peter said in Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, repent, change your mind about your sins, and each of you be baptized, immersed in water, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the salvation that God has brought to you, revealed by the Holy Spirit. And about 3,000 on that day were baptized for the forgiveness of their sins, believing in Jesus and his blood to cleanse them, God having raised him from the dead. And as Christians, we are to continue to repent and turn from our sins, that we might continue to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus, acknowledging those sins before God and praying for forgiveness as often as needed. That's what Simon the magician, who had been baptized with and had become a Christian, being baptized for the forgiveness of his sins, but he coveted the power of the Holy Spirit. He was told that he would be lost if he continued in that type of thinking. Acts 8 and verse 22, therefore repent of this wickedness of yours and pray the Lord that if possible the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. And that's what we are to do. If we're going to continue as Christians, that we might grow in his grace and knowledge, repent and pray to God, acknowledging our sins that he might continue to cleanse us by the blood of Jesus. What have we learned in this lesson? We've learned that following our own guidance leads to idolatry and immorality, including homosexuality. We've learned also that the scriptures are God's only source of guidance. Before the law of Moses, God condemned homosexuality. In the law of Moses, God condemned homosexuality. And in the New Testament, God also condemns homosexuality. This is what we learned in our lesson today, and this is what we would encourage you to think about so that you might turn to God and be saved before it is ever too late. We're going to stop here today. The Word of God is quite plain, and the Word of God does not go along with the trends of the world that have endorsed and promote homosexuality. But the Word of God is the only means by which we can be saved through the blood of Jesus. And we would encourage all to turn and be saved. This is what God desires. He does not desire our destruction, but has sent Jesus to save us from our sins. If we would but turn, believing in Jesus as the Son of God, that He is God along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, that He is Lord of heaven and earth after dying for our sins and being raised from the dead, is exalted at the right hand of God, ruling as King and High Priest. Turn to Him today, turn from your sins, confess that faith in Jesus as the Son of God, as we read in Acts chapters 2 and 8, and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, that you might become a child of God by God's grace through your obedient faith, and continue in the apostles' teaching, learning how to worship and praise Him, and learning how to live the Christian life each day. And as we fall short of that will, as we often do, acknowledging our sins to God and praying for forgiveness, turning to Him, that we might continue to grow in His grace and knowledge. We would encourage all to respond before it's ever too late. We would be glad to help you in studying if you call, text, or email us, even studying with you by Zoom, if we have that opportunity, or finding those to help you in your area. Learn more about the Word of God. We hope that all respond. We pray that that be the case before it's ever too late, as today we draw our lesson to a close.